prophesying of the Savior's atonement, Isaiah wrote, "He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." A majestic Latter-day vision emphasized that Jesus came into the world to bear the sins of the world. Both ancient and modern scripture testify that he redeemed them and bore them and carried them all the days of old. A favorite hymn pleads with us to hear your great deliverer's voice. Bear, born, carry, deliver. These are powerful, heartening, messianic words. They convey help and hope for safe movement from where we were to where we need to be, but cannot get without assistance. These words also connote burden, struggle, and fatigue, words most appropriate in describing the mission of Him who, at unspeakable cost, lifts us up when we have fallen, carries us forward when strength is gone, delivers us safely home when safety seems far beyond our reach. "My Father hath sent me," he said, "that I might be lifted up upon the cross, that as I have been lifted up, even so should men be lifted up to me." But can you hear in this language another arena of human endeavor in which we use words like bear and born, carry and lift, labor and deliver? As Jesus said to John, while in the very act of atonement, so he says to us all, "Behold thy mother." Today I declare from this pulpit what has been said here before, that no love in mortality comes closer to approximating the pure love of Jesus Christ than the selfless love a devoted mother has for her child. You see, it's not only that they bear us, but they continue bearing with us. It's not only the prenatal carrying, but the lifelong carrying that makes mothering such a staggering feat.
What's up, warriors? You got Spenny here. Just wanted to give you a little introduction to today's episode, because this is a Mother's Day special. With Mother's Day coming up this weekend, we want to honor and give a shout out to all of the warrior mothers out there. And to do that, we have invited our dear sweet mothers on the Eternal Warrior podcast. So what you're going to be hearing are two separately recorded blips of me talking with my mom and Wes talking with his. So that's what you have in store today, just talking about their perspective of our journey and how best to help mothers and warriors alike in this battle against Satan and pornography. So welcome to this episode, and we'll toss it over to Wes and Lori.
Welcome to a very, very special week on the Eternal Warrior podcast. And this is a Mother's Day special. And I bet you guys can all assume who my very special guest is this week. It's my sweet mom. And I'm so blessed and honored and privileged to have her join me this week. This is Wes. Thanks for joining us this week. Mother's Day special of the Eternal Warrior podcast, helping young people in their quest for self-mastery, sharing stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography. Mom, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, and I'm really glad that I could be here on this podcast with you, and I feel really honored that you would want to do a Mother's Day special podcast and ask your moms to share their thoughts and feelings.
Well, we're lucky that we have you guys in our lives. We're going to dive into my mom's story here in just a little bit. But just a brief recap on some of the things that we covered last week. If you haven't had a chance to listen to our conversation with Jim Sorensen, a personal warrior trainer through Life Changing Services, he gives a very unique take on finding your inner source of strength, or strength, as Spence would say if he were here. My mom also says strength quite a bit, don't you, Mom?
Strength.
Yeah. Like when she says the blessing over the food, it's always to nourish and strengthen our bodies.
Right.
Which Dad loves. But anyway, if you haven't had a chance to go listen to Jim, he really turns some really interesting ideas on their head for us. I mean, just kind of challenges some conventional wisdom and what the norm might be considered by our Latter-day Saint community, and talks about how his recovery has been different and how he's grateful for that. It's a really powerful episode. And I just love the way that he expresses his ability to connect with the Savior and how that helps him to fight for his family. And there is no one that I know that fights harder for their family than this warrior woman to my right. Sweet, sweet Lori, I love you so much. Our story goes back many years, but why don't you just go ahead and talk a little bit about when you first found out from me about when I was having my challenges with pornography, kind of that first experience when I was a teenager.
So when Weston was in, I think it was third grade.
Oh, we're going back that far.
Yeah, we're going back that far.
That's episode one stuff.
Well, when Weston was in third grade, he accidentally viewed pornography on the new computer in the classroom at his school. And then shortly thereafter that, 2 weeks later, I think after that, he viewed pornography again in the same classroom because
a dirty little third grader.
Right. No, it just...
No, I remember.
It was accidental again, but he once again viewed pornography, and I did not know what to do. I did not know how to handle that situation, and I remember talking to sisters-in-law and saying, you know, what do I do? I don't know how to handle this. And my sister-in-law saying to me, the best thing you can do is tell him it's not his fault and just not to worry about it and just move on. If you talk about it, if you try and explain it to him, if you keep bringing it up, he's going to get curious and he's just going to want to see that more and more. So just bury it, you know, just forget about it and move forward. And that's the best thing you can do. And I believed that. And that's what I did. And I think that was
we don't want to throw my aunt under the bus here either. I think that was just kind of some of the prevailing.
Yeah.
The
right.
Prevailing wisdom, air quotes, wisdom of the time. And well, just kind of like, well, let's sweep it under the rug and pretend it didn't happen. Right. And.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I love my sister-in-law, and surely that's what she thought and what I thought too. So. We didn't talk about it. I told him it wasn't his fault and that I hoped he was okay. But we didn't really talk about it. And
little did you know that a little seed. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I wish I would have talked about it with him then because it probably would have made our home a more comfortable place to be able to say things when they came up.
Well, I would have been like 8 or 9 years old?
You were 8 years old. Yeah. He was 8 years old.
Still wet behind the ear.
Yeah. Anyway, when he was a teenager, I don't know if I'm going to remember the details of this exactly.
Okay.
I just remember feeling like I needed to ask you.
You have that mom superpower.
Okay, I think all moms get that, will understand this, but you really do have the ability to receive inspiration regarding those people that you have stewardship over, and that's your children. And I really have had that happen. Just a very strong thought come to my mind, you need to check with that boy right now. And that's what happened with Weston. I went to him and I said, are you having a problem with pornography and masturbation?
I didn't even know what the M word meant at the time, but somehow it clicked that that's what it meant. And so I remember this vividly because I think you'd called me upstairs. You were like, what were you doing down there? I was some like 16-year-old, and I'm just thinking, well, what do you think kind of thing, you know? But like, you asked me point blank, are you viewing pornography? And I said, yeah. And then you said, are you masturbating? And I said, again, I had never heard that word and didn't know what that meant. But I was like, yeah, I think so. But I needed you to be that direct, because I don't know if I would have come to you otherwise. And I think that I'm just grateful that you were brave enough to listen to the Spirit in that moment.
That's sweet.
To think of me.
Well, for me, that was it was a scary feeling for me. Actually, I was panicked. Like, what do I do? What is going to happen to my son? And every possible scenario that I could think of that could happen to him went through my mind. And every bad scenario that I could think of went through my mind. And I honestly did not know what to do. I was, I felt very, very alone. I didn't feel like I could talk to anybody about this problem. And I actually even remember sitting in church one Sunday in Relief Society and thinking, wouldn't it be great if we could actually say what we're really having a problem with? Wouldn't it be great if I could talk about this with all these women and feel like I wouldn't be judged, but instead that I would have support and help? I remember vividly thinking that. Well, maybe I would have had support and help, but it was my perception that was that was leading me at that time, and I didn't believe I would have support and help. And then there's a whole nother ingredient to this, and that is your child, and who can you talk to without betraying your child?
That's my confidence, right?
Right.
And I don't know. Well, I do know. As a 16-year-old, or however the heck young I was, there's no way I would have been cool with you sharing my business. And I think that, oh, Mom. This is kind of the first time my mom and I have ever really talked about this. And, or at least from my mom's perspective.
Right.
I feel like I'm sorry for being selfish that way. I don't think I'm sure I never will fully appreciate the pain that you've gone through it because of me and my decisions. But I'm sorry you felt that way that time.
Well, that's so sweet of you. I don't want to make you feel I don't want to make you feel like that. But it is really painful as a mother to watch your son struggling like that. And I have four sons. So I was really a mess. I mean, I'm thinking if I have one son who's struggling with this, I probably have four sons who are struggling with this.
Especially when he's the best of the four, right? Man, I can't imagine what fourth place is going through right now.
Anyway, Weston's been really honest with me as he's gotten older. I don't think he I don't think it was very easy for him to admit to himself even that he had this problem when he was that age. So for me to come to him and ask him, I think it took him all the courage he had to tell me that he had that problem. And probably there were times when he acted like he didn't have the problem anymore, but still did.
I think that's... Yeah, I know I had and have a thick layer of pride that I'm still trying to scrub off. And I think that's something that maybe in my mortality, I don't know if I'm ever going to grow out of. But humility and honesty are peas and carrots. They just go together. And it's so liberating to be able to be like that. And to, I know not everybody... Especially not every teenager has a mom like you, has a parent. I mean, they might feel like my mom is going to react the way the women in the Relief Society might act, right? And so, yeah, I mean, so walk us through kind of how, I don't know, when you saw me through on a mission and stuff, like how did that play out in your mind?
So, when Weston went on a mission, I had the thought of, oh, good, he can go on a mission. He's doing so good. And then I also had the thought, oh, good, this problem will be gone when he gets home from his mission. That is 2 years of spiritual high. And it will be gone when he gets home. And I am so excited that we won't have to deal with this anymore. But that is not the truth about this problem, pornography. It's it doesn't just go away. It's so readily available. It's just everywhere. And it's also very acceptable in many social circles of people. So
it's accessible, it's acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it's affordable.
Right.
Like any broke punk teenager can get his hands on some hardcore, terrible filth for nothing.
Right. So after Weston got home from his mission, I'm like checking that off my list of things I have to worry about. You know, I'll never have to worry about that anymore.
And then just the other 99 problems, right? What else we need to fix about this guy?
No. But he went away to school, and he roomed with a bunch of other guys, and he was responsible for his own actions, and I didn't really know what he was doing every day of his life. But at some point, he shared with me that he was having that problem again, or still, or whatever. I don't think we really discussed it beyond, I don't think we asked. I don't think I asked. So still?
What's wrong with you, kid? Get it out of your system.
I just was very worried. Just this is a, I know all moms feel like this about their children, but this is an awesome son I have here. And my heart was breaking. You know, was he gonna be all that he could be in his life? Are any of us really all that we can be in our lives? But is he going to be able to get married? Is this going to be...
The jury's still out on that one.
is how big of a stumbling block is this going to be in his life? Why haven't I noticed it sooner? How naive am I? How stupid am I to think that this wouldn't come back, to think that you could just say, all right, I fixed that, and it would be better forever. This isn't like a broken arm that you take the cast off and now you have a good arm again. This is something that every single day of your life, I believe, and I guess Weston can answer this for me, but I think every single day of his life, he fights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like you taught me, Mommy. So let me ask you then, how different was it learning about my addiction from when I was a teenager under your roof to when I was, I mean, I wouldn't call myself an adult, but over the age of 21,
right,
and living on my own? How were those experiences different, or were they?
Oh yeah, they were totally different for me. So when you were 16 and you were at home, I felt like this is something, every time it was traumatizing to me. I'm not going to say that I wasn't worried about you when you were 16. I was totally panicked. But I believed that we could talk about it, and which we didn't really very well. But
that's on me.
But that if I kept, you know, asking you, are you okay? And I think we had like little ways that we tried to check in.
In our family, we had what we called bathroom talks. And my mom, there's this bathroom in the upstairs of my parents' house that is tiny. I mean, I can't fit in there myself with the door closed, and I'd slam my tiny little mom in there with this. But anytime there was a significantly personal issue, it was tackled in the bathroom.
Issue.
Uh-huh. Mom would say, can I talk to you? And then we'd be like, yeah, do we need to go to the bathroom? That's what we'd do. Well, and we still do that sometimes, right?
Rarely. But sometimes,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man, what a blessing to be amongst the pink tile in the bathroom.
thank goodness for our upstairs bathroom. Else we never would have gotten anywhere.
Else we never would have.
Anyway, when he was 16, I worried about it. I prayed my guts out for him and for me to know what to do, for my husband to know what to do, for us to be able to support and help our son. But when he was older and he had this problem, I was really worried about him. Like, he's an adult now. This means he's had this problem a long time. How does it get more deeply entrenched in you the longer you have it? Is it harder to fix the wiring in your brain the longer you've been sending messages this direction and rewiring your brain to love porn? And I had a lot of questions like that, and like I said, just worried about his long-term lifetime goals. Is he going to be okay? And once again, I just had to count on my Father in Heaven and my Savior, who's Weston's Savior too. And one thing I really learned was, through prayer, I learned to trust my son, to believe in him. That was the message I felt from my Savior when I prayed about my son. Don't give up on him. He is amazing. You can believe in him, because he will fight. Just love him and support him and never, ever give up on him.
And now you all realize that it's true when I say I do have the best mother in the world. And that, yeah, your mom might be great, and sure, she might be great at baking whatever cookie of choice, but she ain't no Lori here. There's only one of her.
Every mom, I hope you know your kid feels that way about you too.
I recently, Mom, you've been with me throughout this whole thing from the jump.
Yeah.
From when I was a teenager. I think one of my biggest regrets is that I did not involve my brothers and other members of our family sooner.
Yeah.
As each of you kind of navigate your own recovery, you will come to learn, as I and my mom have, that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. That the more we're willing to roll back our sleeves and show our scars of where Satan has gashed us in the past, the amazing, it's unbelievable how many people readily say, hey, you know what, me too. Check out mine. Check out my scar.
Yeah.
And I know, Mom, you've been able to help. So my mom's Relief Society president in the ward right now. And they didn't even have to hold an election for it. I think they just put her in because everybody wanted her anyway. But I know you've been able to have a unique experience blessing the lives of the women in your ward, not in spite of the challenges that I've brought into your life, but because of them. Can you talk a little bit about how you've been able to have empathy and bless the lives of some of your sisters?
I think because of this experience that Weston and I have gone through.
And are going through.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Weston. Weston sometimes reminds me, this is his experience, but I remind him, no, it's our experience. Because if you think I'm not going through something, you're wrong. But because of that, it's very easy for me to not be judgmental of what anyone's going through. Life is hard. And we are living in the last days, and Satan knows that. He's working really hard. We just need to be there for each other. Who cares what your problem is? Just love each other and help each other.
Satan seems to remind us that we're living in the last days, and my mom always seems to remind him that she was saved for the last inning for a reason. And oh, I love her so much. Mom, before we started recording, we talked a little bit about kind of some of the things that I said during my recovery that wasn't real recovery. I still trying to get out of the pride armor. But I don't want my idiocracy and stupidity to go to waste. And I don't know, can you just speak to that a little bit and how someone in your position that might be going through something similar could react? Or I don't know if that makes sense. When I told you that this was my thing and I didn't...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I kind of talked about that a second ago. Just... So when... when Weston first asked me, I'm his accountability partner, and
or podna.
Yeah, podna.
Come on, podna.
I'm more of a podna.
Yeah.
That sort of sounded Brooklyn-ish. It didn't sound really Western-ish.
He had cowboys there too.
Anyway, I'm his accountability partner, and when he first asked me to do that, we weren't having a lot of long streaks of...
I sucked, basically. I really sucked.
Anyway, and that was hard on me. Every time I would, this is still hard on me. Every morning when I open my email, I have a report.
Yeah, we use an app called Covenant Eyes that monitors all my internet activity on my devices.
Right.
And if I go somewhere that I shouldn't, my mom will know about it, and she will see where I've been.
Right, which is very, very hard for me. If I see that he's gone somewhere, I don't even want to know where it is, what he's done, and I, because it's really frightening to me. So I usually just call him or text him and say, hey, it looks like we might need to talk. I want to know what happened. But when we were first doing this, I wasn't so good at that. I'd freak out a little bit, and I'd be like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I don't know if I ever said that to Weston.
I remember one time.
But I do remember one time saying it to Weston. Well,
one time you said,
Are you even trying? Yeah. Which was, don't ever say that to your son, because that just put him in a tailspin. It was not the right thing to say.
I lost it. That was, I did not need to react that way.
Well, I didn't need to say that. Don't ever say that, because they're trying. They're trying, or you wouldn't be their accountability partner or know about their problem.
But I think, you know what? I didn't have any license to. I think, you know, that's a growing pain that we shared in our experience. Right.
So
we realized, okay, you can't say that, but also, Wes, try harder.
Yeah.
Do better, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean,
really a hard balance. So it got to where, for me, if I saw that there had been a problem, I would pray about it before I would text my son, so that I would know what to say in that text that would encourage him to change and do better without sounding like I didn't believe in him or think that he could overcome this problem. But it was a very painful problem for me. It hurt every time I saw that he had made a mistake. Every time. There are many nights that I have laid awake in bed and cried. There are many, many times that I have gotten down and knelt by my bed and prayed for this son until my eyes hurt from crying. Until I just... Until I just had to be okay and go to bed. But what I'm trying to say is, and I think what Weston wants me to tell you is that he didn't always understand how hard it was for me. All he could see was, I have a problem and it's hard for me. Be nice to me.
That's so short-sighted on my part, though. I don't deserve you.
I don't deserve you,
Oh,
Wes.
Shut up. But, man, I can't believe we haven't really talked about this before.
I know. It's kind of, I'm being like, you can just cut most of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we will. I'm sure we'll carve this turkey up. No problem. But,
One thing, though, from this is Weston and I have become very close.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, too, is, like, I think what was hard for me, especially during those times when I was just crabby, and is I felt like this is all we talked about.
Yeah.
Every time I got a text from you or a call from you, it was always some kind of,
hey,
yeah, accountability, like, parole officer type deal.
Yeah.
Which I needed, which needs to be there, but I felt like that occupied the majority of our relationship. And I don't think that element, I mean, we learned from that, right? Like,
yeah.
We didn't know any better.
No. And I kind of needed to be reassured frequently It because I worry so much. I don't know. My kids have told me I have a problem with worrying. I'm sure a lot of other moms have this problem. But I needed to be reassured frequently that he was okay. And because of that, I was often asking him, hey, are you doing okay? Is everything all right? I just need you to check in with me. And actually, he needs to be held accountable frequently.
Yeah.
Every day, he's actually held accountable. Mm-hmm. And he and I have developed a relationship that way. But what he's saying is there was a point where that was pretty much all our relationship was.
Yeah, I just felt like Mom was the porn cop, kind of, right? Like,
yeah.
And
that was hard on both of us.
Yeah. You didn't want to be like that to me.
No.
And I didn't want that to be the only...
Yeah.
Bridge I had with my mom. What do you think we could have? I mean, how did we fix that? What was different?
Well, totally, it was you that fixed that. So.
Did I say something or?
No, I don't feel like you said something as much as you offered time with me. Weston spends a lot of time with me. Like, I'm not his main thing.
I'll come in here to the old folks' home.
But he'll talk to me.
We'll play bingo together.
We go to lunch together sometimes. Yeah. He made my Christmas so awesome. He took me to Celtic Women. Okay, I really, really wanted to go to Celtic Women.
I wanted an excuse to go. And my stars, that was...
He took me to that.
That was great.
And probably made my husband really happy because he didn't have to take me to that. Weston took me, and he took me to a really awesome dinner beforehand. And he made me feel like I was a really special person. And he has that. I think our relationship has changed because you have spent time giving me time and making me feel like I matter to you. Instead of
well,
just
you kinda
like,
do, right?
Instead of like I'm instead of just that I'm your policeman.
Well, I like, think that was a huge part of my continued recovery is I finally had someone pull the blinders off to help me realize your mom is recovering just as much as you are. That she And my mom, thankfully, never bought into Satan's garbage of you're a sucky mom, you should have done X, Y, and Z. My mom has always known that she did the right thing. She raised four valiant boys and that she's done the best that she could and continues to do so. But there's still so much pain, the betrayal that you felt and the trauma and just the not knowing where you could go.
The thing that I did feel bad about in myself was that I had been so naive and so like I thought, you know, we didn't even have the internet in our house till Weston was probably 16 or 17 years old.
And then we had lightning dial-up speed, baby.
Yeah, I mean, we are not a high-tech home.
I think we had a Juno internet
a Juno
provider.
A Juno account, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I remember playing that pinball game. And Minesweeper, come on now. Windows 98, okay. Get it.
Okay, and we just have regular TV. We didn't have cable TV. We still don't have cable TV.
You don't need cable. All you need is Arthur. That is all you need in this life.
Anyway, and you know, if a show was on and it got inappropriate, we turned it off. I thought, we are a good family. We don't have bad things in our house. We don't swear. We don't talk. We don't tell dirty jokes. We go to church. We're in a good place. We're a good family. We are not going to have that problem. Well, that's what I feel the worst about was just sort of that self-righteous attitude. Maybe not even realizing that it was self-righteous.
Almost kind of like this happens to other families, but
right,
not ours.
Right, yeah. This happens to other families, but this isn't going to happen to ours. And I can't tell you how many friends I have that I have heard say those very words out of their mouth. Like, that is a huge problem, but I'm so glad it's not a problem here in our neighborhood or in my home. And I just want to say, wake up It's a problem everywhere. If you have a healthy youth in your home, male or female, they have hormones. And there are a million ways those hormones can be stimulated. And they are pretty natural kids if that piques their curiosity.
Do you feel like, you know, mothers who might be listening should assume that their children have been exposed to pornography in one way or another? Not necessarily that they're addicted, but that they have things that, I mean, like you said, with my experience when I was 8 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. They should assume that.
And to have those conversations young, right?
Yes. Yeah. And actually to talk, we just did not talk.
We didn't talk about, can we say the sex word?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about sex. Good thing dad's not here because he would plug his ears and walk away.
I thought, you know, if they went to the maturation program and and if we said to them, do you have any questions? And they said, nope, we were good.
That was it. I remember walking home from Rosecrest Elementary with dad, mm-hmm. with my little Ziploc bag of deodorant and
hygiene,
whatever else, like zit cream or whatever. We crossed the ditch and he looks at me.
Little did you know how much you would love that stuff later in your life.
We crossed the ditch and dad looks at me and goes, so you got that, right? You're pretty much squared away. And I was like scared to death to say otherwise. And I'm like, yeah, man, let's never talk about this ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't think we were unique in that, right?
No, I think that was a pretty normal, really, yeah. if everybody was being honest.
Nobody wants to talk about it,
that
right?
That was a pretty normal experience in most households. I think households are getting better at talking about things. And I know in our fifth Sunday meetings, we have had a meeting even where we have talked about how important it is to talk to your kids. Talk to them about sex, about masturbation, about pornography, about their feelings. And you need to talk to them. They need to know that wanting to have sex is a pretty normal, healthy feeling. And then they need to understand that the best and only good way to have sex is with a husband or wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I mean, just having the dialogue in a family, for whatever reason, it was so difficult for me to disclose to the rest of my family about my addiction. It wasn't until a few months ago that I told my brothers and their spouses and gave them books to read to their kids about how to address it. So there's a great, great book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures for anybody that you know needs to start talking to their kids at a young age. And there's even a Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior, which is for kids that are even 2-3 years old.
Right.
And you're never too young to start talking to them about it and getting them prepared for what they will unfortunately encounter in mortality.
Yeah. That's why those kids are on the earth now, is because they're strong, valiant little souls.
Those little punks. I love them. But this has been so fulfilling. Thanks for listening. This has been a pretty intimate experience for mommy and me here. And go easy on us, guys. We're just trying to do our best.
Yeah.
And I can say that my sweet mom has never done anything but the best for her family and for those in her charge. She loves so fiercely and so powerfully. She serves relentlessly. And mom, I just want to ask you one question that we ask everyone on the show. Why do you fight and why won't you give up?
Because you are so worth it. And because exaltation is worth the fight. And we're going to make that together.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
We'll be neighbors in heaven.
Yeah.
We'll have like a little Like
you're
share,
probably
like
gonna have like six boys. That's what I think.
Oh, you're cursing me now, huh? We have a fun maturation talk with six guys.
At least you'll know how to do it.
Well, let's not put the cart before the horse. We still need to figure out the whole wife scenario. But, Mommy, I love you so much and grateful for you for doing this with us.
I love you too.
Guys, if you have any questions, please reach out to us, podcast@lifechangingservices.org. We want to thank the mothers of many warriors who are warriors themselves. Happy Mother's Day. And I hope that, you know, we make the other 364 days a year Mother's Day for you as well, because we need you so, so much. I would not be in recovery were it not for my angel mother. I sure as heck wouldn't have been able to serve a mission. My mom earned her Eagle Scout 4 times. She served as an honorable missionary mother for 7 years, because me and little Turbo, we overlapped for a year.
Yeah.
But I have yet to encounter a woman of the same mettle and strength as my mom.
I have strength.
She got strength out the wazoo. Anyway, we love you guys so much. Have a great, great Mother's Day.
Mommy. Hang in there, moms. You can do this. All and right. Your boys can do this too.
We love you guys.
We are live, Mom. We are live here on the Eternal Warrior podcast, coming to you from North Ogden, Utah. Right? 84414. And as Robert Don would say,
at the kitchen table.
Yes. Holding hands.
Holding hands. Swinging held hands, yes. Underneath the table.
No, everyone, this is my dear mother. Should we say, we can say your name, right? Kathy? Is that okay?
Unless you don't like the name Kathy,
no,
you
I
can
love
say
the name
my
Kathy.
Real name Kathleen if it, ooh, makes you feel better.
And that'll be like a disguise for you.
Yeah, yes, my disguise is
Kathleen.
This is Kathleen. Yes.
No, so as you now know, Mother's Day is coming, and we're doing a little special this week. Having me and Wes bringing our dear sweet mothers here on the podcast, just to, you know, embarrass us and to and to tell really cute things about us, right?
Oh, you didn't tell me I had to tell cute things.
Oh.
We might have to pause for a minute so I can think of some.
Because they're hard to come by. No, but really excited to be here with my sweet mom, you guys. This woman is why I'm here. Well, physically, actually, like literally why I'm here. Wow.
I'm glad I taught you that much. Yes.
But also why I'm recording a podcast about porn and masturbation. You know, recovery.
Recovery.
Well, yeah, it really is. There's no way I would be doing this without my mama.
I'm glad I can be a part of it, but you give me a little too much credit.
No.
Oh. But I am grateful.
Well,
we are where we are today.
Oh, man, me too. Holy smokes. So you do say that I'm giving you too much credit, but I think the listeners at the end of talking today, they will realize how great of an impact you've had on this little Spenny. In the words of Maurice, he called me Spen.
Oh, Spen. I like that.
He called me Spen on the last episode.
Yeah, I like that.
And I like wanted to say something like, do you know? I've never had someone call me Spen before.
No, I think it, we can add that to our list of pet names. I like that, Spen.
Are you going to call me Spen on the episode now? I'll call you Kathleen and you call me Spen.
Spen, yeah. Not to be confused with Sven from Frozen.
From Frozen. Oh, yeah, I don't want to be confused with that guy. Because he's a Well, he was a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
I guess I could be confused with him. But, oh, you guys, I just love this woman. But let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Does that sound okay
to
you?
I'm ready.
So I would like for you, Mother Dear, for you to tell us about... Because if you remember, this I did say a little bit about this in some of the other episodes, but I was dating a girl that I thought I was going to marry, and the addiction came up, and fortunately, she did say she encouraged me to tell you, which I'm really grateful for, and I'm grateful I didn't end up with her.
So am I. But that's a story for another day.
Another podcast episode.
That's another podcast.
No, but I just remember being so scared to tell you because I loved you so much and because I knew how hard that was going to be to hear. But I'd love to hear just what those initial feelings were when I first opened up about the addiction.
So I will begin by saying that of all of my children, Sven was probably the least likely one that I would have thought I would have heard this pronouncement coming from him.
Hmm.
This was a...
Because all my siblings are dirty, gross people.
But they have their own podcasts to deal with that. So, but Spencer was, if you can't tell from his podcasts, but he has a love for life. He has a love for people. I never had to worry about him as a young man growing up. I didn't have to reprimand or counsel him in many ways because he was just this ideal son.
Mm.
And so when he told me about this problem, I was stunned.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Initially, I thought I was in a little bit of denial, and I thought, well, this isn't an addiction. The word addiction kept coming up, and I thought, this isn't an addiction. He just needs to pray about it and fast and get tough and stop it. I mean, I just didn't think it was going to be
that big of a deal.
And so, especially this boy who I loved and knew that was one of the purest, one of the sweetest, kindest spirits that had ever graced the earth. And so...
You heard it here first.
Well, and a mother can say these things about their children.
Oh, thank you, Mother Dear. So I'm sure that did add to a level of surprise, right?
It was surprise. Yeah. It was surprise. And then I went from... surprise, I think, to the usual things that a mother would do. How did I miss the signs? Why couldn't he have told me about this earlier? I understood he had confided in a bishop or two about it. And then I was embarrassed because I thought, well, can I see that bishop in the hall, even though maybe he's not currently the bishop, and look at him and have him say, oh, what was your son doing?
Oh, my gosh.
So there was that element of, for a little while, just a little chagrin, saying, does he think I'm a bad mother? Think I should have, you know, I should have seen the signs or done something differently? So that did enter into my thought processes.
Which I don't know if I knew that it affected you that way, because that's how... I felt, so the example I think of is every time I would see that girl I was dating, we dated for a little bit longer after, she who must not be named.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't even say. No, but every time she opened up to her dad about it without me giving permission, or like not without me knowing, and then she eventually told me, hey, like I actually told my dad about it. And it was that same feeling. Like I couldn't look him in the eye, like... he no longer had respect for me or trusted me, could trust me ever. Not interesting. And I didn't know that a mom would have that experience if with a like knowing that a bishop knows something deep and deep about their child in that way.
Right.
I didn't think
right.
that would be a thing. That's interesting, Mom. So now I would be curious to hear what, as it continued, because this would have been, what, five? No, I don't know. What was it, 5 years ago?
Could it have been about 5 years ago this time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
It would have been like April-ish.
Like April-ish
or
of what, 2014?
14. Mm-hmm.
Wow. 5 years, guys. How about that? So then it, I think from that first initial time we talked about it, we probably didn't talk about it for a while.
I don't remember discussing it again with you.
For a while.
Like, for a while. Because it was going to go away.
Yeah.
It was going to go away. So because I knew you would have the strength.
The strength.
The strength and the courage.
That Sven would have the strength.
Sven would have the strength.
No, that's because I think from my perspective, from my own, like, I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
This, well, I kept asking, when will this be over? And I just thought, okay, it's over. That was the last time. It's done with.
Right.
I have prayed. I have repented. I am moving forward, and I would go a few months and be good. And then, or even I'd go a few days and then, and that sound is actually from my mom. Can you give him a little example?
Well, it's the universal sound effect.
For anything.
For anything.
This can be
you
used
just,
for anything.
For anything. So you just have to, it can be the sound of an engine. It can be the sound
of a lost battle.
Of a lost battle. Oh, I mean.
So I'd go a few days and then.
Yeah, that's right. That's the universal sound effect.
Yeah, you guys are getting a lot more out of this than you thought you would.
Or that you want.
No, but I remember, okay, I think let's dive into this. When there were a couple of low moments, I do remember a few of them. I'm going to name a few. I would go through these mini rock bottoms, right? Where I'd then finally talk to you and say, Mom, I'm actually still struggling with this. I remember one was here at the kitchen table, and I remember that's the night when you were like, okay, let's set some goals. Let's, and I was stoked. Do you remember? And I drew the I can. Do you remember this? I drew that little logo. I like
yes.
spent all night doing that. I was
yes.
like motivated. I came up with my own little, not knowing program, my own little flagpoles almost, like my little like reminders to look at this card, to look at a picture of my family. You know, I was excited. I was ready. And at that time, I really do believe, and interestingly enough, looking back, I can see the hand of God in those moments, those mini rock bottoms, right?
I think that we were doing the best we could with the information we had at the time.
Yes.
Because I was clueless. I didn't know beyond someone saying, well, just pray and fast and
right.
Go to church. And I mean, I didn't have anything in my mom arsenal.
Well, guess why?
Except what?
Because we don't
what?
Talk about this.
No.
We don't talk about it in Relief Society.
No.
We don't talk about it in Elders Quorum. We don't
no.
talk about church. We don't talk about it on the streets with our homies, you know?
And I think it's a problem. I'm not quite sure how to address it beyond this point, but I hear in church meetings, leadership meetings that I go to, that the number one problem that bishops and stake presidents are dealing with at this time is pornography with youth and with adults as well.
Yep.
And yet it is not talked about in any of our meetings.
No.
There are no helps for it.
No.
There's no, it's just don't do it.
Don't do it. Just stop it. And if you are doing it, stop it.
Stop it.
And if you aren't doing it,
don't. Well, I'm sorry, but we're
beyond that point.
Yes. We need more.
Yes.
Bullets.
Yes.
And our machine gun.
Yes.
We need more effort.
More than just spiritual bullets. Like, and I remember a lot of the time your advice, which I did use. I remember, Mom, was prayer. It was always back to the basics,
it was.
And it always helped. It always did. It's not. I'm not counting out how powerful and needing how much we need prayer, how much we need scripture study,
absolutely,
how much we need weekly church attendance, temple attendance, you know, things like that. And you would encourage me to read my patriarchal blessing. And like you said, you were doing the very best you could with what you knew, right?
So then when it wasn't working, I mean, but I would just start over. Then I just say, okay, put that behind you. Start again.
Yep.
I mean, that was kind of my mantra. Just, okay.
Here we go again. We can do this.
Start over. We can do this. Keep going. We can do it.
Okay. So this is where a few more little mini rock bottoms. And okay. we actually talked about this before we started recording, but, one of them being up in Logan when you came up for work and we went to lunch. I remember, cause I was going to Utah State, and in the parking lot, I remember you saying, "You're gonna do this. You're gonna beat this." And it was at a time where I didn't think I was or could. There were many times like that where you believed in me much more than I did, right? Then July 4th, I think we have to talk about that one.
I think that's
a
pivotal one.
Tell them what you experienced. What I said and just like that whole experience. That was interesting.
So we are driving to a family reunion in the Alpine area. And we get into the subject. So of your current challenges and that you're still struggling. And
yes.
And there was something in your voice that lent me to believe that you had given up hope. That you had hit a low point and you didn't know where else to go or what else to do. And in my heart, I screamed at Satan. And I said, "You are not going to get my son. You cannot have him." And I'm sure that what I said out loud may not have carried that much fervor. I don't remember.
No, you yelled at me. I'm just kidding. You did not.
But I just thought, no.
You will not take him from me.
You will not take him. You will not get him. He is too valiant of a spirit. He has too much to offer, and you cannot have him. And I didn't swear, Spencer, even in my... But I wanted to. I wanted to swear at him.
Beep. We're just bleeping out all the swear words. Yes. No, but that... So, and I was telling my sweet mama before we recorded, too, that Maurice defines that as mother-bear chemistry, similar to warrior chemistry, but to another level of...
Oh, I was going to take him on. But... throughout this journey, which has been positive from the standpoint that instead of just me having this internal anger and hostility, then I have seen how there are productive ways to take on the battle, where just yelling made me feel better for a minute.
Yeah.
But there are other ways that you need to take on these battles, and they can be won.
Yes.
They can be won.
And so I do remember saying, I think in the moment that I lost, I don't know why and just for all you listeners, I do inherit from my mother a very good memory, right, Mom?
Oh, oops. No.
We both have pretty porous memories.
Yes, we do.
So all of these stories we're telling you are probably not real. They're probably lies.
But they sound good.
They sound really good.
They sound good in the moment. Yeah.
No, but for some reason, I do remember saying, "He has soaked me dry."
Yes. Oh, yes.
He has soaked me dry. Talking about Satan. He has won. He has soaked me dry. Like, I can't. Oh, man. But then, and I don't remember what you said, but I remember walking away from that day knowing that you knew that I could do this, even if I didn't believe in it.
No,
But the confidence that you had in me and in God, and it was, and every time you talked about it, you would say, I know that Jesus Christ can heal this, can heal us.
There is no doubt, and there was no doubt in my mind that that could not happen.
Right.
Because he created us.
Yes.
He and Heavenly Father created us. He understood the mortal chemical limitations of our brains that are being manipulated and subterfuged by evil sources. And so because they understand that, they also understand the mechanisms needed to reverse that process and make us strong.
Yes.
I knew it had to come from the Creator.
Yes.
And I had every confidence that that could happen.
I know. And as a mom, did you ever feel, because man, it's almost like, what can I do?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
What else can I do? Because I look back and what you did was perfect. Because you're perfect, Mom.
You had to say that because it's going to be Mother's Day. But.
Yes, happy Mother's Day. No, but like legit, you continued to believe in me. And beyond that, I mean, I don't really remember any other specifics, but I'm sure there were times where you're like, what more can a mother do to instill a confidence in him that he doesn't have in himself, you know? I don't know.
And I think that's, I think that mothers maybe more so than other human beings have the ability to look into the soul of their children and recognize their potential. It's probably a gift from the Creator that we have that. And so I would dare say even the mothers of the Ted Bundys of the world and some of these people who
yes.
really have done some bad things, if you talk to them, I think they could find the good in their children.
Yes.
And know what their potential is. And
wow.
I never lost sight of your potential, Spencer. I knew that if you could ever get on top of this and get it under control, that then you would just soar. And I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen, and it's been a blessed journey.
Oh, Mama dear, I love you. So the one thing I would, maybe we could dive into, because all of the listeners know about this, but you were the most vital individual in my sabbatical.
Oh, the sabbatical.
And if you haven't listened to those episodes, I did go through such a low part of the journey that maybe we hadn't experienced yet to another level, where I literally sat on my mom's couch for 3 months, 4 months, and didn't move. And did not move a muscle. And she can testify that that is true. Do you want to just talk from your perspective just about the sabbatical in general?
Well, it was, I think it was multifactorial. You've probably gone into this a little bit, but it had to do with another breakup of,
yep.
of a relationship. It had to do with the loss of a job.
Yep.
It had to do with a period of time where discouragement set in and
yep.
prior battles lost. It just started to build up. And
yep.
I think we extracted him from his apartment in Salt Lake and brought him home because we were really concerned that he was not able to take care of himself, really. It was a really dark time for him. But when I really noticed that we were dealing with a difficult situation is when he would say things to me like, maybe this is the real me. maybe I am not that happy, loving person that everybody thinks I used to be. Maybe that was the false me, and this me, this slug on the couch who didn't want to see family, who didn't want to see anyone.
Oh, anyone.
Anyone. He would not accept phone calls from
texts,
even from his siblings. Mm. And we even had to ward off family visitors and anyone who would come into the home because he could not handle it. So that period of time was, I think, was difficult to discern what is this bottomless pit spiral downward. What was the cause of it? And I didn't think it had only to do with his pornography addiction. I felt like it was deeper than that. And I wondered if he had gotten so low in this progression that he needed some additional help to pull himself up enough to get the chemicals in his brain out of the depression loop, to get them high enough so that he could accept counseling and suggestions, because he was not in a state. You could not encourage, you could not build confidence, you could not, he couldn't accept it.
Was unresponsive to any sort of love or anything.
And I don't know that this happens. I think these are all individual things. Every person goes through a different thing. We have in our family some history of depression. My father suffered from it for 19 years, the last 19 years of his life. And so I had seen depression.
And your husband as well
with some other mental health issues.
Yep.
And so there just is a time when you have to say to yourself, this is not something I can pull myself up out of. It goes beyond that. I need medical help. Mm. And so we did seek some medical help and got some medication. And we also then, I think, got to the point where counseling.
Yep.
And in particular, Cody.
Yes. You would recommend, I remember you saying, you know, I remember you saying, you're more than welcome to stay on this couch forever. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
if you're up to it or want to, we don't know how else to help. And so we might need to get you to see somebody. And that's where Cody came in. But,
and it was a blessing. And,
yep.
He initially said, maybe you're going to need some medication too. So that kind of steered us in that direction.
Yep.
But you need professional, you need somebody who understands the brain chemistry, and it's so complex.
Yes.
I am a nurse by profession, and the complexity of the brain is way beyond my understanding. But what I do understand is that sometimes you have to have external help.
Yes.
To help you reroute your chemical processes in your brain.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But it's so hard to, it's so hard to accept that.
Yes.
I remember feeling, oh man, you guys, I don't know why I just thought about this, but the moment I walked out of the pharmacy, having picked up medication, I started crying. Because I was like, who would have thought that I would have needed medication?
Right.
I would have been depressed. I was so anxious and paranoid. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that's such a hard thing to accept, is to accept that you need help. And then I also, you don't want to accept it because you never thought you'd be there. But then I also think there was this element of, and that lie that Satan continued to tell me is like, no, you can do this alone, or like you can, oh man. Fight this alone.
And it is a lie. And
keep it to yourself, right?
Yes. Oh, man. Yes. And I think so many people suffer unnecessarily and struggle unnecessarily.
Because of that.
But this speaks to, Spencer, to your strength, your inner strength, because that took a lot for you to finally admit to that and go get the help you needed. And then once the help was being given to you, to accept the things that were being told to you,
yes,
and to try the methods and the things that you were being counseled to do. And that takes a lot of internal strength and fortitude, and you're to be commended, as are all who are in this battle.
Yes.
My hat's off to you. Because it is hard. But there are people who are willing to help. There are people, we're not in this battle alone. No. We can't do it alone.
No.
We can't do it alone. So we need help. And we've got a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that was, Mom, Kate, don't you just love this woman? Gosh, dang it. She is seriously the best.
Oh, go on.
No, but I just to add to that, I think the one thing that keeps coming to my brain as we're talking right now, Mom, the one thing I could recommend to a warrior is, if you haven't told your mom, tell your mom.
Tell her. Let her get involved.
Let her get involved, because she
knows you. She knows. She can see things in you don't see in yourself.
Yes.
And she can provide that extra oomph, the barbell, the strength muscle, the whatever.
Yes.
And she will do that. And it doesn't hurt to have extra prayers going your direction. I think we underestimate the power that we can generate from others who are trying to help us with even just prayers.
Yes, and which I know you sent many of those.
And still do.
And still do.
And I hope you're praying for me.
Because it's a team effort, yep, here. You have to tell your mom. When I told you, Mom, I mean, just to quickly now go through a couple of these experiences from my perspective, to maybe to give moms listening an idea of potentially how to handle something like this that's so hard. Like you just said, Mama, this is not anything you'd ever expect or ever hope for or ever. And it's talked about very high level, and we don't really, and so it's so, so hard. But the way that you responded with no judgment, with no, there were no conditions ever set or made for the battle from you. If you lose again, you know, I don't know.
You're going to be punished.
You're going to be punished. Like, oh, I don't know. It's just this constant, and I've said this already in the episode, but this constant belief and support and love and I know that I would not, like, this, it could not have happened without you, Mom.
Well, I would like to take credit for the response. We talked about this briefly before. I had a parenting example, my own parents, who gave unconditional love to me and to my siblings. I would recommend, if at all possible, to mothers that any situation your children find themselves in, when they've got the courage to finally talk to you about these difficult situations, your response, your reaction is critical.
Yes.
because if you show signs of shock, of disapproval, of
disappointment,
It'll be very hard to retract that and gain back that trust from your child who has just opened up his or her soul to you. And sometimes many thoughts will be going through your mind, but don't let those thoughts come across your face. And just remember, this is a child of God who has a struggle, and let me listen. And listening, not give advice front, but just listening, let me hear from them what is going on, and wait for the inspiration to come, which will come. You will be helped in the moment to know what to say or do.
Yes, because you did that. You'd ask good questions, and then you'd listen.
And I didn't often know what
advice to give.
Would
tell me that.
Yeah.
You would say that to me. I don't really know what to tell you, Spencer, but I know things are going to work out.
And that I love you. And I did love you. And I do love you. I will love you. There you go. Yep.
You have heard from the mouth of an inspired woman today, everybody. She's part of the reasons that I repeat every day why I fight, because she is an angel here on earth. She is a, there's just no doubt in my mind, that we were supposed to be here on the earth together. And to go through our own challenges together, and to love each other through them, and I wouldn't have it. And we said this even before. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't wish to go through this again. I wouldn't want to go through what we've been through, Mom. But what we have, man.
I am a better person because of it. I am less judgmental. I am more accepting of my own failings.
Yes.
And this has brought forth things that I struggle with that I need to change and do, and it's given me courage. I am a much stronger person, and my son Spencer is a much stronger person. Having gone through this and in his state of conquering, and you can never say conquered, but in his state of conquering.
Continued journey that will continue for the rest of my mortal experience.
That's right.
But Mom, I don't know, before we recorded, as I was driving up here, I remember thinking, why can't I just be back to that little Spenny that I was? I wish I could just be that innocent little Spenny again, because I did. I did love people, and I loved life, and I was happy, and I genuinely enjoyed things, and I was excited about a lot of, I don't know, those were good times, you know? But now, having gone through this, I don't want to go back to that little Spenny, and I have moved beyond that little Spenny because of this.
Yes.
Not in spite of, but because of.
Yes.
Right? That this, as hard and as challenging as this continues to be and has been, it makes us who we are from a warrior's perspective, and those that are willing to ride the journey with us, like a mom or a bishop or a trusted loved one, whoever that may be.
And you mom warriors and you other warriors will link arms and help countless others.
Yes.
On their journey. This is, it's not a solo project.
Mm-mm.
You are in it to win it. And we ought to do a game show.
In it to win it.
Or what a great idea.
but then how do... Interesting. We'll have to think about that for a little bit. We'll come up with some ideas. In it to win it.
Yeah,
I wonder if we'll get in trouble with Minute to Win It. I don't know. Do you think?
Oh.
Do you think that they'll like sue us or something?
I don't know. I'll work on the patent for that.
No, but I agree with you, Mama. I agree with you. And don't be ashamed of whatever your battle is. I don't know. As we talk about this, just recognize that we're all in mortality together and that it's okay that we suffer and make dumb choices. And not only is it okay, but it's part of it. It's what the plan was, because that's how we learn. Not to say to go and make poor decisions to learn from them, but it's own your story.
Own it. And we were not put here to fail. So there are things that have been put into place, if we'll use them,
yes,
to help us. And I wish I could. I don't want you to see me right now because I'm looking a little poorly, but I wish I could see all of you and tell you how much I love you and how proud I am of you, because you want to make a change. So please do whatever it takes.
Keep fighting.
Keep fighting.
Don't give up, you guys. Don't give up. And if Kathleen says it, you better dang well do it, is what I learned at a very young age. No, this has been wonderful. Mom, thank you for coming on. I know this wasn't super easy for you to do, to be vulnerable and talk about this. But how grateful I am that we have for us. I mean, I hope the listeners have enjoyed it, but I don't really care if they have or not.
It's helped us.
It's
hasn't
been
it?
Wonderful. Yeah. It really
it's
has.
It's been great.
So thanks for listening, everyone. And just to nail these things home, I think just from talking about this is tell your mom. Talk to your mom about this. She is an inspired woman. And for all you moms out there, thank you for what you do. My mom said, so proud of you and your efforts and your continued prayers and fight that you give for your kids. Keep after it. We will conquer. We will win. And man, I almost closed in the name of Jesus Christ because I felt like I
didn't know if I needed to bear my testimony or what. But,
but we love you. Come back and listen again. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To all of our mothers everywhere, past, present, or future, I say thank you. Thank you for giving birth, for shaping souls, for forming character, and for demonstrating the pure love of Christ. To Mother Eve, to Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, to Mary of Nazareth, and to a mother in heaven, I say thank you for your crucial role in fulfilling the purposes of eternity. To all mothers in every circumstance, including those who struggle, and all will, I say, be peaceful. Believe in God and yourself. You are doing better than you think you are. In fact, you are saviors on Mount Zion. And like the master you follow, your love never faileth. I can pay no higher tribute to anyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.